Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
world. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Sweet Tea on Sweet Discussions. And also want to thank A.P. Taylor, our supporter of this beautiful session here on Blog Talk Radio, or Team of Voices, which is a part of All Poetry, the world's largest poetry site on the internet. My name is Sweet Tea. I will be your host tonight. Tonight we will be talking about myths and legends across the world, whatever your favorite one might be. I have poets that have written some great poems about it. We'll be discussing some of our favorites, like dragons and vampires and banshees and gnomes and all the other wonderful things that we might be afraid of, like leprechauns. You know, gotta worry, beware of those rainbows and smiles and all of those things. I have a couple people waiting for me online, but first I want to mention the song that you just heard was Words You Cannot Say, sung by Shout Even Shy, written by one of our own here, Team of Voices, Mr. Jay Hatter. So first let me welcome our own lovely board member and sponsor, Mr. A.P. Taylor. How you doing, A.P.?
Hey, I'm well, thanks, Sweet. How are you?
I'm doing okay. was snowed in a couple of days ago, and now it's almost 70 degrees. So spring has sprung, but I think we're going to get a little snow next week. So got to love Colorado in the spring.
You do.
Yes. And you're getting ready for your winter down there, so get ready to snuggle up there. And next on the line, I believe I have Mr. Raconteur.
Hey, guys.
Hey, John, right?
Hello, how are
you? I'm all right.
Good. Are you ready for your monsters?
The Jersey Devil himself, sure.
The Jersey Devil. I love the legend of the Jersey Devil because it could have been some kind of bat, the big old bat that they think it might have been, which is fascinating to me because that thing looks like a human. I mean, that bat is scarier. It's just so scary. I mean, I've seen pictures of that bat, and if that thing was coming at me, I would have thought it was a devil. That thing scares the crap out of me. Yeah. It's awful.
Bring it.
Bring on the Jersey Devil, the bat that looks like a human, stands 3 feet tall, coming at you. That's crazy. So what kind of myth and legend are there in Australia? Like the special, like does the country have one? Or is it all in your poem? It is all in your
poem. It is in my poems, but I am completely on topic today.
Oh, are we? See?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if you want to hang out and read or you want to read right away. I mean, we've only got me and Rack, but,
I was going to read and hang for a little bit. I'm having my lunch, as you can see on the board.
Okay.
So
we can hang out and wait a minute, and I can chat about some of the other great ones that I've got listed here. Okay. Let's do that. So we're going to go and talk about this crazy folklore stuff that we got going on. Like, there are some that I looked at that, you know, like I know about the Banshee and I know about this and I know about this, but like the, know about the Cyclops, I know about the Ogre and the Leprechaun and the Gnome, but the Gorgon, I had heard of the Gorgon, you know, but I really didn't know a lot about him. Medusa was a Gorgon. I just thought Medusa was a Medusa. So they're vicious monsters capable of turning their victims into snow with one look. The Gorgon's appearance was an interesting mix of beautiful and frightening, their most notable feature being the fact they had live snakes on their head. Gorgon myths are important lessons in not being tricked by beauty alone. Well, what do you know of any other one than Medusa? But I guess they're quite a bit.
Very the basilisk.
Yeah, I didn't know. I'm very, very, and for somebody who likes Greek, like, legend, I was felt very dumb. There you go. This is the other thing I learned, that mermaids go all the way back to ancient Babylon.
Wow.
Which I'm all like in the biblical sense. Well, the biblical sense, that's where God changed everybody around because they were trying to build a stairway to heaven kind of thing. So he went, okay, now none of you can talk. You're all going to blah, blah, blah. You know, he did all of that. So I'm like, did he change people to mermaids? I'm just wondering.
Good question.
It's just things that come popping into my head. So
I
thought that was interesting fact.
You're better than me. The things that pop into my head. Do you get gorgonzola cheese from Gorgons? You're better off than I am, so.
I know, you know. And then there's this one that I cannot say, and he's number 11 on my list, so if anybody wants to look at that and actually do the correct pronunciation, I'm more than happy to.
Number 11.
But number 11. I cannot say that to save my life.
What is it, the chupacabra?
So go for it. No.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
That's horrible.
Thank you. It's not just me. But, yeah.
No. It's an Acrobuamelu. Acrobuamelu. Jesus.
I was going to say Acrobuamelu. Yeah. So totally out of my even phonics abilities, because it makes no sense to me. But he sounds awful. Go ahead and read that for me there, Mr. AP.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Acrobuamelu, or scorpion man, is a monstrous creature that originated in ancient Mesopotamia, specifically in Babylonian creation myths. They are a hybrid of a scorpion and a man, with the body of a scorpion and the face, torso, and arms of a man. While they are terrifying in appearance, and were created to wage war against gods, they also stand as guardians and often warn travelers who might be in danger. Okay.
So, I'm just imagining this. Okay, I almost wrote a poem on this guy just because this is the person that's going to warn you as you're coming into Babylonia. By the way, there might be some danger ahead. I'm thinking you might be the danger. I just can't imagine this kind of person, this creature.
Yeah, if you're warning about the danger, what the fuck is the actual thing that's going to be dangerous?
Exactly my point. I was quite taken aback that these were the warnings. I was like, okay, hold on. I have Miss Pretty Bird on the line here. Hello, Pretty Bird. How are you?
I am awesome. How are you?
Oh, well, we're talking about you're a wordsmith, so I don't know if you have the board up, but we are talking about number 11 on the board.
The half scorpion.
Yeah, the half scorpion
man.
And none of us can really say his name. And they are supposed to warn us of danger, and as AP points out, that just killed me. If they are the ones that are going to warn us of danger, what the fuck is the danger all about? Yeah, I'm beginning to wonder myself. But yeah, that cracked me up because I'm like, holy crap, what is the danger? I was thinking the same lines of you. Oh. So I don't know if you have the board out, but if you have any idea of how to say that man's name or that creature's name, please go for it.
I don't know. That what language is that?
Babylonian, we think. I don't know.
And that looks like it might be Acrobuamelu.
Yeah, that works.
That works well.
Yeah, that's a Mesopotamian.
Yeah, so we're trying to figure that one out. But that was one of my favorites that's on the list. So just because he's so scary.
And not
looking,
for nothing,
the
sight of that in real life would probably make me crap my pants and die, I'm just saying.
That is the creature that's going to warn you of danger ahead.
Oh yeah, no, that is that is the nightmare. So no.
Yeah.
If that's warning me of danger ahead, I'm not going anywhere. I'm standing right there.
That's it. It warned me as much as it likes. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't want to ride him like a horse.
Yeah.
He's got the thing on the back because that's his nature.
Yeah.
I mean, I found that one to be one of the scarier ones in all of the myths and legends. That right there, whose name I cannot say, to be one of the most unique ones out there. I was like, wow. And this is their protector. He fights bad guys. He fights bad gods. And he sounds horrific, but they trust in him. So I thought,
He's good to know. Yes.
I've got one for you. I've got an Australian one for you.
Okay. I'm ready.
Yeah? You ready?
Yes.
This is a real legendary creature. This is called the Bunyip. It's called the Bunyip. Yeah.
Okay.
And it is real, we think. Anyway, here we go. This is the mythical Bunyip quatern by me. And it goes a bit like this.
Let me get to your poem. Hold on. Is it on the board?
Yeah.
I'm not at the board yet. All right, hold on. And then let me welcome Gress. Hello, Gress.
Hey. Hey, Gress.
Hey.
It's so good to hear you.
What are you running from, Gress?
All right, now I'm ready. I'm ready for you. Okay. This is scary.
You ready?
I am ready.
Yeah. Here we go.
Okay.
It goes a bit like this. Within the darkest swamps of this place, a mythical creature has been described. It is large, rounded, and lacking in grace, fierce with bone facial tusks, so inscribed. From the first settlers, a Bunyip its name, within the darkest swamps of this place, lay still the kangaroo and wallaby game, when water they sought to night's trace. By settlers described, its bellows chase, where waters into billabongs overfilled, within the darkest swamps of this place, so many innocent travellers were killed. Their painful demise, by clawing or bite, reputation for silent stalking and pace, be warned of Bunyips and their might, within the darkest swamps of this place. End poem.
Oh my God. And I thought your snakes were bad. Now your legends are worse.
Right, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh my God, he looks like the cross between a very angry beaver and an elephant. I mean, what is wrong with you? Can you not do anything nice? I mean, your koalas are supposed to be cuddly and then they bite the crap out of you. Your kangaroos beat people. Yeah. Your snakes just run up into Christmas trees and bite people when they're putting on their lovely decorations.
Yeah, that's true.
It is true. You sent me a picture of a snake hiding in somebody's Christmas tree.
Yeah, it was only 10 months. Yes.
Yes. Oh, my God. It was so bad. You were so nice to me. Hey, look at the pretty Christmas tree. Don't forget the snake in the middle. But why are your innocent travelers going to the darkness of the swamps? Don't they have tour guides? Don't go in the swamp.
Don't go in the swamp. No.
Don't go in the swamp.
No.
You know, that's a good idea.
No.
I suddenly described its billows chase where waters into billabongs overfill. Within the darkest swamps of this place, so many innocent travelers were killed. Go over there. You Australians. Oh, no, I know. I really love this. He's a wicked little creature. It's like alligator, elephant, beaver.
Yeah.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, awesome. Rack, your thoughts on him.
I'm really wishing I could see it because describing the tusks, it sounded more like a boar than an elephant. But, you know, you clarified that as your description of all the craziness going on. I mean, you know, it really sounds like a conglomeration of a whole mess of stuff. And, yeah, I can see how that could be scary and ruin the tourist trade a little bit, at least in the swamp areas. Because, you know, isn't Australia more desert than swamp?
Yes, it is, Rack. Yeah, near the coast. Yeah, near the coast. Yep.
You got a little of everything out there. I wouldn't mind visiting it. It sounds lovely. But, you know, the origins of Australia are interesting and everything else, and this is no different. The legend is really wicked. It's cool. It was a cool poem. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't mean to confuse you with all my, like, throwing the animals together. It's like a big seeping thing coming out of the water, like Loch Ness Monster-like. And
Freebird, your thoughts?
Yeah, I live in Florida, so it's all swamp. And, you know, all we have here are the gators and the cottonmouths and a plethora of pythons and iguanas here as of late. So if they had weird, creepy creatures like this, I mean, I would stay farther away. Well, I probably wouldn't live in Florida because, you know, I'm about as far away from the alligators as I can get, and they're still in my backyard. So, No. I don't do the swamp during the day, much less at night. First of all, it swamps smell bad. Second of all, things eat you. Okay, we don't venture into a land where you just might be food. It is not a safe place. But your rhyme is impeccable, and your imagery is fabulous. Even without that picture, it's very, very creepy. It reads like a campfire story where you know, those ghost stories that you tell around the campfire, especially if you're by a body of water and it's kind of swampy. That's like, read this because it would be perfect. That it's awesome. But, yeah, I've never seen anything like that. That is, yeah, no. Just no.
Thank you.
And Gress, your thoughts?
Al, I think I need to hook up with the AP here, and we need to write a script and make this movie, man. This creepy here is scary as heck, man. I would love to have this as like one of those like thing on Sci-Fi channels, you know, where the it's kind of like a monster that comes out of the swamp and eats people, but it's misunderstood, much like the creature of the Black Lagoon, right? It's only doing it to protect its offspring, and it's eating them because the people are killing their offspring or something, you know? You got to make it spell, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That is so awesome, man. I never heard of this story before, and thank you for bringing it. I love that, man. I could just see this as a major movie, man. Really, seriously, this is quite impressive. I've never even heard of this story before, and I believe it's probably from some original the people that have been there before that they
first the Nations people, the indigenous people, came from them, yes.
Oh my God, this is so cool, man. I really would like to do a script and write it, man. It seems like it'd be awesome.
Not great.
Awesome job.
He's a retired actor fighting for failed movie rights because he was disfigured from the film by a plastic surgeon.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Oh, good Lord. So let's see what else is going on. So yeah, those are some of my crazy myths. I love that one, AP. By the way, I thought that was great. So let's see, where am I going? Trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing.
A lot of cool sort of color and movement. Just wait, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
always. So. He's full of cover and movement.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think. Anyway. You know, I'm going to go and get myself back to work again, sweet. So have
a
wonderful show.
Oh, well, I'm glad
you had
Well, I'm glad that you were with me to try to pronounce number 11, because that's what I'm going to call him
Thank
from
you.
Now on. Number 11,
okay.
And that's all there is to it. And like you said, I don't know what the fuck we would do without that, because if they're the – I'm never going to cross their legs, but that was great. Thank you, AP. Oh. I had fun with you.
Pleasure. Sweet. Have a great show. Talk soon.
Thank
Have
you.
Have a great day.
Hey, awesome. Awesome, AP. Good to hear you.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. You too. Cheers.
All right. So what is your favorite legend, Grass?
Well, I saw you had Gorgon on there, and one of my favorite characters, Medusa. I think a lot of people don't realize that she was wronged and that she was misunderstood. And without her, the people of Andromeda would have been killed, you know, and sacrificed to Poseidon. So that's kind of like what my poem's about.
Cool. And Pretty Bird, your favorite. But I think I know.
I don't know that I have a favorite. I like all things creepy. And depending on my mood, it kind of depends on which faction of mythology I lean towards. I mean, I like vampires. I'll be team vampire all the way. But, what'd you say?
The Jersey Devil.
I don't know who that is. Like, I don't know what creature that is. Is it anything like the Florida Skunk Ape? Because, you know, that's a thing. It's like a piggy Bigfoot that smells like ass.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the skunk ape. It's they're like, what, up to 7 feet. They're like short, like primates that, you know, people see in the swamps, but, you know, swamp people be crazy. And they literally smell like skunk, hence the skunk and bipedal monkey type creature, skunk ape, because we're so clever here in the South.
Wow.
I have not seen
that. And rat. Your favorite.
Yeah, I still have to keep saying Jersey Devil. As much as I like, you know, the Gorgon and, you know, all the other ones, I just, you know, it's a little close to home.
What
you
got
to try to find
Devil,
a Jersey
Devil, dare I ask?
It is big ass bat. It is a big bat. And it looks like a human.
Oh, look, it's a gargoyle.
It looks like a human. It scares the hell out of me if you've never seen one.
Well, she's got number 11 warning her away, so.
I know. Yeah. Have you ever seen a Jersey Devil dress?
The only Jersey Devil I know is Deborah.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, you brought the joke tonight.
Yeah, I like it.
Someone's got to go to bat for her.
I got to give her props.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Gretz, you want to read your poem? I'd love to hear about
it. I guess so.
Well, I can read mine, too, if you want to hang out. I don't have a problem with that. But I usually offer you guys first. Which one do?
I can read it.
Okay. All right.
You want me? No, give me a second. I'm lagging. My apologies.
No, I'm lagging. I'm
okay.
The host, but you.
Dragon lagging.
Dragon lagging.
All right, there it is. All right, this is called Medusa Misunderstood. Here it goes. They were selfish gods living large, taking what and whom they wanted. A beautifully ravishing maiden, Medusa, a victim of God of Water, raped in Athena's temple by Poseidon. Not knowing all the truth or facts, Athena, a god of wisdom, wrongly reacts and changes Medusa to a hideous monster, a gorgon with wings and snakes for hair, and banishes her to live alone. She was pregnant when Perseus set off her head with use of the mirrored shield. By then, her anger and legend grew. But when her head was lopped off from her body, Pegasus flew. Then came the Chrysaor, a giant wielding a golden sword, from his mother who just bore him to a fate so cold. No one will acknowledge she was the key to keep the gods living and for the mortals to believe. Her head, a mass misunderstood how evil now was good. Perseus used Medusa's head to kill Cetus, Poseidon's prized possession, released to devour Andromeda as a sacrifice. So maybe Athena was wise after all.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. A, I didn't know all of this. I didn't know that she was pregnant. I didn't know that she was the protector. I actually have terrified of snakes, so I don't know much about Medusa other than the fact that I don't want to be around her. Wow, I mean, there's so much in here that I, like, didn't know. And, like, she's almost like a queen you should worship, like somebody that you should not, like, feel sorry for, like a Joan of Arc kind of character. And this is really cool. I really like how you presented everything about her. It's like somebody to change your mind about, somebody to be admired, somebody to say, wow, they really screwed her over, didn't they? But most women were by the Greek gods. This is really cool. I really like this. Thanks, Gress. I learned a lot about Medusa tonight. And Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
Oh, I do so enjoy this. It's funny because, you know, they all have wings. Pegasus is his brother who has wings, and he kind of looks like a pig, but it doesn't mention that anywhere. But he looks like a pig, and I like pigs. And he is that son of Poseidon and Medusa. He is credited with slaying many a monster. So I kind of love that, you know, he does good. This blasphemous thing that was born according to the jealous goddess, what's her face? Because, you know, apparently she's just a mean girl bitch. I'm sorry, but she is. Jealousy is not pretty on anybody. I don't care if you're a goddess.
She was jealous, but Medusa was green.
OMG.
And Rack, finish out your thoughts.
Well, I mean, Perseus was just Medusa's barber and took a little too much off the top. I realize the history of that. You know, you've got all the Greek mythology. This is a good way to, like, remember the, you know, who did what to whom. It's just, you know, and it was all, every time you turned around, you know, somebody was offending somebody and then pulling something out and getting even. You know, Kronos and Zeus, and they're all fighting everybody, and I'm probably mixing up my Greeks and my
Romans.
It's always so confusing to me sometimes, but, you know, I love something like this that lays out the story, you know, in a way that's really, you know, clear, and it rhymes to help, you know, that helps you remember things. Clever to, you know, what is it? You turn a deficit to your advantage, you know. Well, I'm going to hold up Medusa's head and turn everything to stone around me, you know. That was a great, you know, idea for a hero, and you know, whoever decided that was going to be the crux of the story was actually the genius, not Athena. Or Athena? She was the wise one, wasn't she? See, now I'm getting confused again, damn it. Reread the poem. It was a good piece. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And everybody say hello to Hatter.
Hey, Hatter, how are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Matt Hatter.
Hello to Hatter.
Hey, Gus. Hatter.
Hey, buddy.
What's going on, man? I'm trying to fix this lost line here. Give me some talk amongst yourselves.
Talk amongst ourselves. That's what we've been doing. But before we do, what is your favorite myth, legend, character?
Oh, guess. It should be easy.
Mad Hatter?
I have no idea.
No. Sasquatch. I was raised in Bigfoot country when my dad would take us fishing, and it scared the hell out of me. I mean, we were little. Going up to the big rivers was a big deal, me and my older brother. And they even had signs, watch out for Bigfoot. You go, what's that? And the Hoopa Indians were one of the tribes in California there by Willow Creek, where the Patterson film was, that one film they have of Bigfoot walking down that dry creek. That's in Willow Creek, which we would go, we would pass through all the time. So yeah, it was, you know, you're down by the rivers by yourself, you start to get dark, thinking of Bigfoot, you know? Huh. That's my favorite.
Wow.
Plus, my uncle was one of those guys. He was a lumberjack, and he knew that every spring Easter break, students from UC Berkeley, Stanford, whatever, down in the Bay Area would come up and go Bigfoot hunting. So he fashioned a footprint that he would put on those beaches. So my uncle didn't help the he didn't believe it, but he was one that would make footprints and then laugh at these kids finding it and then making plaster molds, and my Uncle Andy was quite the card.
Awesome. Did you happen to hear Gus's phone at all? I didn't think you did, but...
No, I was getting settled.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just asked.
Oh,
was it
the Medusa?
I got everybody there.
I did hear part of it, the Medusa, yeah. That was good. I don't have it in front of me. I'm trying to finish this one line.
That's okay.
So I would be ready. I thought I'd be ready for you.
That's all right. You're fine. That's fine. That's good. Finish your one line. I'm going to throw me up, I think.
Okay.
Maybe.
I think this is it.
Maybe I'm...
If you throw yourself up,
I don't know.
Does that mean? You're sick of yourself?
It means... Okay. If I throw myself off, God help you all. It'll be a big mess. All right, there's my poem. God help y'all. Here it is. It's Look Closely.
Damn it.
All right. Damn it.
I ain't looking closely.
In shadow. Oh, hush up. You can look closely, but you're not going to see anything anyway. So anyway, look closely. In Stygian shadows, he crossed beyond the boundaries of death. Feast or famine, curse or blessing, a haunted legend, master of timeless life, reinventing himself in the light. Disease and wars changed borders. Religion and art changed hearts. Creatures born of wishes and witches are hiding. But look closely, and you can see them again. Dragons hide in thunderstorms, watch lightning storms. Ghosts and goblins take all your things and move them to another spot. And banshees scream and spin, kicking and spitting in tornado spins. Beware the garden between the flowers or evil gnomes. Evil gnomes may roam. Sunshine and rainbows smile not for fear of the leprechaun's rotten lot. Now I respect all my families and friends, but I rule them all. But I rule all of them. God, I can read tonight. A redhead falsely accused. I'm the dragon you respect. Beware the fire in my breath. I'm the bringer of death. I warm the devil's bed. End poem.
I warm the devil's bed. Go ahead. Blame it on your hair. Why don't you? And but I love this. I love how this is an all-inclusive, like, poem with all of the beings. And I love that word Stygian, because you got to love the shadows, especially dark shadows, you know, near Styx, because that's my favorite of all rivers. It's a thing. I love how, like, I really love how you kind of bring them into today. Like, they're not gone. You just don't recognize them because they've been kind of normalized. You know, you've got the dragons in the sky. You've got the gnomes in the garden. Moving all the stuff. You've got the banshees screaming in the tornadoes. I love that. That is brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant. And, but it is the queen, the devil's mistress with that fiery tresses. And I see how you are. get well. And so I absolutely love this. I do. It is all the fabulous, magical, mystical things. So Rack and Tour, what are your thoughts?
It's a lovely dark piece. I mean, you know, she's got a way of telling a story, and this is no exception. You know, she opens up with beautiful language and Stygian depths, and you know, and leads to the devil's bed. So, and everything in between. You know, you've got a great mind for things like this, and you know, you include all the things that feed this type of setting the table, as they say. And you know, I love to eat, so I love the poem.
Awesomeness. And Gress, what are your thoughts?
I like how you brought everyday events acts of mythical beings, and I thought that was pretty creative, because we every time we see these things in the daytime, this is back in the day, this is probably how these things were seen too, but they rationalize them by being mythical beings. So now that we see them, we think they're just everyday events, and I thought that was pretty cool. And how you all, at the end, you basically brought the conclusion that a redhead falsely accused, I am a dragon, respect, beware of my fire and my breath. In other words, like, don't get me angry. So I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. It was meant to
and
be fun.
Hatter, your thoughts?
Hatter's still trying to write. He ran away. Hatter,
is he muted
himself?
Or is he gone?
I don't know. He probably muted himself.
Unmuted. Yeah, I'm talking away. have you, Sweets, have you noticed a difference in your writing, a change? Are you evolving, anything like that?
I am evolving. I have a third kit now. No.
I was gonna ask how many years has it been?
I've been writing since a long time, but I've been for six years.
Cow parts.
Cow parts. I just went to my three and a half year checkup.
Moving. Moving along,
yes.
You're mellowing out with your writing.
Am I mellowing out?
A little bit.
Am I?
A little bit.
I'm sorry. I'm not eating people as much, am I?
Hey, Gref. We got Pretty Bird,
yes,
CP, and Hatter, a chick, a mick, and a hick.
Hey.
Oh, my God, help me. Well, thank you, Heather. I think that's a compliment. You said out.
I got about 10 minutes, and then I got to take off.
Okay, well, you're the one that's waiting on your line, so when you're ready, let me know.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I posted it. Yeah.
Okay, well, then start reading, sweetheart.
Okay. This is about a mythical creature that I grew up with.
Holy cow, man.
It's called Orthel. Well, it was this, had to be said. Okay, it goes like this. Raised to defend those that couldn't, always doing what I know I shouldn't. Schoolyard tussles and bullies are named, horse thieves and rustlers handing out pain. A myth grew about an orchard demon many had, but I had never seen one. Larger than any born to that age, stories of ogres they bring out on stage. In my 12th year, I saw it too. It's bigger than I thought. I had no clue. Waiting for the day I would make them pay one by one after school. Animal packs within the woods, behind the schools where they stood. Orthel would size them up one by one. Bullied, tears till he was done. The day I defended a friend to the end, I chose the place where I would send or sell a message that a reckoning was due, and when it comes, I'll be looking for you. My sidekicks saw that I was willing to try, and they had all seen it the days gone by. One day a coach told me to find two hoods back in the school near the smoking woods. It's where I would find a pack of thieves sitting in circles upon the fallen leaves. I scanned the ditch where they often hid, looking for Dor and Ricky Madrid. Then from the middle of the opening crowd, a noise so soft but getting loud, a grunt of humph and rose to see Orthel was now staring at me. I hoped he would remember before the dark side. Kurt was my neighbor, just another guy. He owed me from back when we were smaller, before he shaved and wasn't that much taller. He walked to where I stood in my stance in Valley Oak on a low-hung branch. I have to say I could have been scared. All I could do was to return his stare. Hey, man, do you remember me? We were friends way back when we were two or three. I nodded my head, telling him about Dor in Madrid. The coach sent me down here to bring back the kid. A standoff between me and Orthel, you might have thought this wouldn't end well, but what happened next was only the test. I came back more than a kid. I fought the great Orthel, chasing Dor and the Ricky Madrid. Yeah, our cadence is off.
Oh, your cadence is fine.
True story.
I thought
Orthel was a real guy.
I got that. The real bully, right?
yeah, he was. But not to me. I knew there was going to be a day, being that I was a jock, that there was going to be a day. If he was going down the path he chose, there'd be a day that there's going to be confrontation somehow. And that was the day. And it went a lot easier. He had more respect for me than I thought he did.
That's cool. I like this. When sometimes, you know, the mythical, you know, he's going to out to get you, and, you know, you've got to watch your step and always step around them and you know, be soft and all that kind of crap. And you just go out there and you stand up to them, and then they're the ones that are running around like, oh, well, I can't do that and I can't do that. I thought that was pretty brilliant. You never know what you're going to face in life.
Nobody really knew it. Yeah, nobody really knew it.
That's awesome. I like that, because sometimes the real is worse than the fake. Sometimes we scare the hell out of ourselves about something that's not real.
Yeah.
And this is pretty brilliant, Hatter. I really liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. Sure. Rack and Tour, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like that you had to stare him down too. That was really clever. But the whole thing, you know, and you know, metaphorically, I guess you ended up tackling him. You know, it was a cool miss. And yeah, if he was a real person, even better, because, you know, he attached metaphor to that. You know, you could extrapolate that too. So yeah, I really enjoyed the story.
Thanks, Rack.
And Preebird, your thoughts?
Oh, I love this. I, you know, it kind of reminds me of, there's an innocence to it. So it reminds me of, you know, that high school and that age of, or maybe even a little bit younger, where you have those first real concentrations where, you know, shit's going to go down and you're prepared for it. And then when it doesn't, it almost changes your perspective on so many things, you know, where there's a certain amount of bravery. There's a certain amount of understanding. There's a certain amount of de-escalation and perception, and that, you know, here's this, you know, the big bad wolf who's terrorizing people. And for whatever brief history you guys had, there's a certain understanding and, you know, where I can see being prepared to have to do what needs doing and then walking away with the understanding that he's still just a person. And I find that to be really quite lovely. And you did a great job writing it.
Even the last one.
Fresh your thoughts.
Well, it's like I think a lot of guys go through this. There's always that point where you have somebody that's been picking on you, and then it's like, you know, you have to make a stand to yourself. You know, you might get your butt kicked and you might be, you know, abused or whatever, but if you don't stand up to them or you don't even try, they're just going to keep doing it to you. So I thought that's like one of the things that you do is that you stand up, and then that's when you become, well, we call it becoming a man, because you have to take the stand eventually, and you might as well, when you do it, it makes you feel better inside, because, like I said, I got beaten up a couple of times, and then I gave it back, and, you know, stuff like that, but it's like when you finally become the person that you know you can be. You can stand up to people and not let them push you around, and, you know, I always use joking, because when I was, like, going from Air Force to military base, it was always like the new guy, and we always, you know, to get along with people, I just made them feel at ease, and that was one of the strategies that I had, is always be the guy that could be the class clown, so that's another way to deal with it, too, but I really love the story, and I love it, Heather, as always. I like your stories about that same one with your trip in the hospital at Christmas time. I'll never forget that one as well.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Thanks, Chris.
Poet. And then Pretty Bird, did you bring me a piece tonight?
I did not.
Okay, I got to go, sweets. Thanks for letting me read.
Bye. Take care.
Okay.
You did not?
Bye, Hatter.
Bye.
Oh, was that Grass leaving?
No, that was Hatter.
No, I'm not leaving yet.
The Hatter. Okay, bye, Hatter.
So we're going to throw up Phil.
Phil the poet.
So if you let me know when he's on the board, I will press play.
Give me 1 second, because my phone is doing weird stuff. It's not cooperating today, so I am just 2 steps behind, which is just not like me.
No, that's usually me.
Give me 1 second. I'm almost there.
Yay.
Okay. And he is up.
All right, here we go with Phil.
This is a poem by Phil the poet called Goth. I wrap the night around me like a cloak and stroll around the darkest part of your godforsaken town, observing the filth that crawls from the gutter. I am a shadow that drifts past to send shivers up and down your spine. I am the voice in the wind that always keeps calling your name. I am a leech that is hungry for blood, a gothic image behind painted eyes, obsessed with darkness and the despair of a savaged soul. I love the cry of gathering crows. The chill within my bones sends ecstasy pulsating through my cold and deserted heart. I haunt these streets for a prey, a victim that society has rejected to satisfy my unending thirst before the sun comes up. I am a vulture, cleaning the dead, stopping disease from spreading. Infection flows through these veins, replacing the life-giving blood. My time has come to fly. First rays of light appear. My job is done. The streets are now clean from all the dirt. I am a necessary evil. That seems to be your last resort. End poem.
That is brilliant on so many levels. Oh, Phil. Phil the poet did us good with this one. I'm telling you what. There are so many great lines in here. I am the leech that is hungry for blood, a gothic image behind painted eyes, obsessed with darkness and the despair of a savage soul. Oh, my God, what a great stanza. What great imagery throughout this whole thing. I think that this has got to be one of my favorites he's ever written. This man can write anything from the blessings of God to the darkest of souls. I enjoy him so much, and this is just another wonderful piece. He just did so well on this. Wow. Great piece. Gress, your thoughts on this?
I guess so many. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, because it's like, the scenery is awesome because it's basically you're thinking of this, like, I don't know why, but I was drawn back to, like, London, like, back in the 1800s, right? And you have this, like, the darkness of death, right? That's filth and this crowd and the stinky and all the stuff that's going on through the sewers and stuff. And you see, like, humanity is, it could be a metaphor, like, of how humanity can be depraved and let the poor, you know, and you're thinking about the dying ones that's in the street, and these vultures come down and they eat and flush the carcasses and stuff. I mean, it was amazing to me. It was like, it really set the tone, and then his voice when he was reading it was the inflections that he had within the poem was awesome, and I think he did an amazing job. And it was kind of really scary because you're thinking, it's just like the setting, and you're like looking around on your shoulders, like, where's this thing going to come from? You know, it was pretty great, and I really liked it a lot. It's really good.
I don't disagree at all. It's just amazing. Raconteur, your thoughts?
My mind goes to the extreme in the sense that, you know, when people want to call themselves goth, I think, is this what they're really trying to be? His description is so on point and wonderful and to the extreme that, you know, well, next time someone says they're goth and I think of this, it's like, yeah, you missed the mark a little bit, you know,
yeah.
Putting on the makeup and the despair is you're not quite reaching that level. So to me, it's almost like making fun of anyone that says that, you know, I'm goth. It's like, oh, yeah, you painted your nails black. That makes you goth. Okay. You know, not quite. Not quite, and to me, that's what he's really saying, but in a really beautifully poetic and dark way.
Oh, that's killer. That is just killer. Again, it's got to be my new favorite of his. And Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
You know, he doesn't change his voice so completely from when he reads, like, you know, fairy toadstool houses and the cobblestone, whatever, and the fabulousness that I like to think he is. But it's enough to sound sinister. It's enough to be matter of fact, and it kind of is what it is. Everybody's got a job to do. Mine just happens to be this particular thing. And there's something kind of really creepy about that, which is fabulous. And I concur, Gress. It gives that kind of cold, damp, wet streets of London and those long, like, coats and the hats where they're kind of slinking off into the corners and people die. And I kind of really love that. I love that it's a necessary evil. Like polite society is going to let him do what he has to because we don't need the dregs, and he keeps him away from you know, the posh people. So you go, you feed on the nasty. Go ahead, enjoy. And I kind of really like that. Good job.
Me too. I really do kind of like that. That's scary. Are you up to reading anything, Miss Pretty Bird?
I suppose, if you want me to.
I do. You don't have to. I can read it. I just wonder.
No, it's fine.
All right.
I'm
have Lockdown Lars on the board for you. I put on the board and everything for you.
Okay. Apparently you're more prepared than I am. All right. This is Sally in the Wood by Lockdown Marks. And it goes like this.
Long ago, it was Colonel Brown's folly to build a tower in a wood just for employment and to be jolly. Had he known, surely he never would. The folly still stands with no penitence, yet Gypsy Girl Sally was locked in there, imprisoned without sustenance, left to die without any care. No bird's nest now in this woodland, flying by with no song, it seems. Many see Sally's ghost firsthand and hear her piercing screams. A road winds through this wood now. The darkness chills you to the bone. 8 fatal car crashes, not known how, but it is Sally. It is said Sally is no longer alone. End poem.
Wow.
I like the author's notes. It says, this story is a myth local to Bath of Bradford on Avon, UK. The car accidents are factual.
Interesting.
It's because the steering wheel's
very
on the
cool.
wrong side.
Now, this is really cool. I like the rhyme. I like the cadence of it. It's scary as heck, though. Especially when you have car accidents in the same place, in the same place. I live off of a road called Riverdale Road here in Colorado, and it's, like, listed on one of the haunted places in America because they have the same thing. You have countless car wrecks, and because it's because people see people on the side of the road, hitchhikers, white floating what objects on the road or whatever. Mm-hmm. And my kids used to play back there all the time. And they would see the same things. They'd come home, they videotape, there'd be blurry things on their tapes. And it was always just this big thing. I had two teenagers I know personally that actually were killed in car accidents on that road. It's one of those roads, though. It's a back twisty road, no lights, no anything. So, you know, the condition of the road itself lends to the number of accidents that are on that road. So you have to think, you know, is it that it's that road or is it the fact that it's a backcountry road, has so many twists and turns? It on both sides of the road, they fall off into a very deep ravine. I mean, but it's just kind of freaks you out, too. So this is really cool, Lars. I like everything that you're talking about, only because I live by one of those weird roads. cool. Pretty Bird, you read it. What do you think?
Well, nobody likes to be lonely, and misery loves company. So after however many years it took this poor girl to scare the crap out of people enough to slam into a tree, however they drove off that road, well, you know, now she's got her people, you know. You can't blame a girl.
Exactly. You cannot blame a girl for wanting her people. I like that. And Raconteur, your thoughts?
Yeah, if I'm condemned to walk the earth for the rest of my life as an apparition, I want to hang out with some people.
I don't blame you.
It's a freaky story, you know. And like you said, you know, you want to blame it on the geography, you want to blame it on, you know, poor city planning or whatever, and that's the real reason. But, you know, maybe not.
Maybe not. And Gresh, your thoughts?
There's a spot, you know, it's like it's unbelievable that, you know, you have these places in the woods, and I'm not going to drive anytime soon in the UK there. First of all, I'm not going to drive in the UK anyway, just because I think I've almost been contributed to Sally's like extra people there, because you know, driving on the left side of the road is always a problem for me. I've done it twice and I've not liked it. So I thought it was kind of spooky, because, you know, here's this girl, you know, why did she, you know, she was, you know, it's a sad story because, yeah, Gypsy goes and is locked in there, this folly, you know, that she's very, you know, she was given no food, and she's left to die in this place without any food or anything, and so now she's haunting it. And I don't think that it was like because she's trying to get back at people. I think that she just, she's lonely. She needs a friend there.
I'm so mad at you. I could cry.
It's sad, right? It's
all
sad.
I know.
I hate to laugh at it, but it's kind of like sad.
I know. You're like, oh, I can't do it. That's great. And Pretty Bird, you don't have any poem at all for me? I'm gonna cry.
There's this one that I have in my head that I can never remember the name of my own crap. So the chances of me finding it before it's over are slim to none, but I'm looking.
Okay.
It's all bloodsucky and sensual because I am who I am.
I like bloodsucky and sensual.
I can't remember the name of the one I had, the vampire poem.
I have no clue.
How about you little bloodsucker?
You little bloodsucker. I like that. Hey, little bloodsucker.
Oh,
I can never remember my stuff either.
I know. Isn't that frustrating?
I know. I can never, ever, ever remember my stuff ever. I know. You're like, where is that? What did I do? I know it's around here somewhere. You got to be able to find it somewhere. Yeah, I know. I am, just so that everybody does know, today is the opening for the 40th anniversary of Ghostbusters. Are you the gatekeeper? It's very important. It's a very important day in my house.
Gozer.
Very, very important. Gozer the cat lives with me.
Yes.
Gozer the cat lives in my house. Love that cat, the big orange cat, my son's cat.
Oh.
Yes. Everybody loves Gozer.
If you want, I have another Greek mythology one.
I like Greek mythology. Bring it on. Throw it on the board and read it.
All right. Let me see if I can find it. Hold on.
Everybody's looking.
Bring it in the back door.
Well, this one I know because I named it for the character, Hades.
Ah.
So I knew this one. Let me see. I got it here. Oh, I must put it in the wrong group. That would not be good.
Well, depends on what the group is.
Oh, geez. Okay, here we go. This is called Hades Tells His Story. And let's go. Welcome, foolish mortals, to my dominion. And just so you know, my opinion is the only one that counts. For your stay, we have the Lake of Fire to punish you for your incredulous desire to live the life you live. There's no escape or redemption, champ. My underworld is your worship me and dance, for I am the oldest god Hades. Zeus and Poseidon have the easiest jobs. To me, they're nothing more than snobs. It's me that does the dirty work. My determination freed us from Father Cronus. My helmet given by the Cyclops placed the onus on my shoulders to be invisible. Three judges will determine your place of eternity. Minos, Ramadanus, Atheus will be fiery. Or the fields of Alphaville, Argus, and Elysium. Your soul will tell your fate which path you will go. I could care less, but your worship is how I grow. So as you pass me, kneel to me. The only room for love in my heart is Charamon, who I abducted from the fields of Nysa. For I was alone and released her back to her mother, Demeter. So now I am only filled with the echoes of your agony, reverberating through the hollows of my tyranny. The only loyal to me is Cerberus. there's no getting past him.
That's awesome. First off, I love the read, just so that you know. The read was awesome. The poem was excellent. I could sit here and listen to you read Greek mythology poems all day. It's one of my favorite things, my subjects. So anytime that, I just do a show, Gresh's show of Greek mythology. That would be great.
I've read all the stories, you know, and I've let, if you ever read the Iliad and the Homer, from Homer, and those epic poems, you know, it's like it tells a story. It's like one of the, I don't know, it's like set the mark for everything, you know, for all the Greek mythology is the two poems by Homer.
I've read Metamorphosis by Obed.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of my favorites. And I love his love letters by Obed too, is another one of my favorites, but that has not a lot to do with Greek mythology other than him, but that has a lot to do with modern day. Like if you read love letters that you can like literally take all of those poems and make them issues of today. So that's why I love him. But yeah. So Pretty Bird, any thoughts on Mr. Hades?
Well, first of all, loving that read. Love it. I don't know how your voice does what you do, but that is awesomeness because I've always been one for animated stories. So fabulous.
Yeah.
Just in read alone is fabulous. And I kind of like all the mythological stuff. I have to say, my kids are full nerds. That's not my biggest nerd faction. I've got many facets of nerd, but and I do enjoy mythology. But and Hades, you know, I have to say I like Hades. I like everything, you know, River Styx and whatnot. I do. Because sometimes you just need to hear somebody's side of the event. I'm just saying.
I know. Have you ever watched the show Lucifer?
Yes.
Yeah, I've watched every single episode.
Oh, my God. It's like, and you're like, yeah, maybe that could be true, that he's just down there because he's being punished, and he's punishing the people that's down there. He's not a bad guy.
He's not a bad guy.
And
so
this is
pretty,
why I don't like wishy-washy villains. If you're going to be bad, be bad. If you're going to be good, don't do bad things.
And Rack, any thoughts on...
The first time I ever heard stories about, you know, Hades and whatnot, my favorite part was always the three-headed dog because, you know, how do you feed a three-headed dog? They're going to fight for everything, and I always loved that story that aspect of the story. It just added some flavor to the whole, you know, darkness I don't know. It made it animated for me. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And your telling of the story, you know, is also excellent.
Thank you.
Okay, so Pretty Bird, you said my kids are nerds, and I love that about them. Okay,
yes,
so
all
that
of them.
Picture,
I taught them well.
I know. So that picture I put up. Is my son's car. That is my son's car.
Because, you know, nerd.
Nerd. But
I'm
he does.
You they're my people.
He's at a theater tonight, and he'll be at another theater Saturday, two theaters on Saturday and a theater on Sunday, because he's been commissioned to be there. But he uses his car to do all kinds of, like, charity events for Alzheimer's and kids, different kids' hospitals and all kinds of stuff. But, yeah, he's a sanctioned Ghostbuster through, I don't know what world it is, but they use him for charity events, and they go to different events. So he's a nerd that does a lot of cool things with his car and his Ghostbuster stuff. But he's going to New York
cool.
for the 40th anniversary. Yeah, It's pretty cool. But yeah, so tonight's show is you know, all about myths and ghosts and all that kind of stuff, but just very excited.
Don't cross your streams.
Yeah. No, never cross the streams. He built a live working one of those too. So did you guys find either poem?
No.
Okay. It's no big deal if you didn't. It's
I mean,
okay.
I have some that are not what I wanted.
That's fine. I have a few, too, that are not capable of being read on the air. Like we're way, way in the naughty room. Like, they're not even NPCs. They're bad. They're bad.
Have we been adult R now? Have we gone to that?
Yes, we are.
NC-17.
We are. Yeah.
NC-17, right? I mean, it's not that.
Yeah,
long,
we,
right? I can't read my dirty ones on there.
No.
You can read. You can't read your rated X. Yeah, no.
I know. I
was sensual, yes. Smutty, not so much.
Okay.
Yeah.
But apparently, we have evolved into adult language, so we're good.
All right, good.
Yeah. Yeah, we have done that.
Not so much with the thrusting.
No.
Yeah, no thrusting. Yeah, I there's things we cannot do.
No,
but,
no Jeff Propulsion.
Yeah. Yeah.
All I find are innocent nonsense that has nothing to do with anything that's pissing me off.
Yeah, but that's
no,
okay.
I've got vampires. I've got werewolves. I've got ghosts. I can't even remember the name of the one where you know the person's being followed and the shadows are creeping up on them. And I actually like that one. Can't remember the name of it for the life of me.
Oh no.
Yeah.
You know the one that's all I like the butts and I cannot lie. You've all heard it.
Oh,
I know. I know.
Okay,
I know exactly which one you're talking about. I know. I'm going to try to find my one. The non-one I wrote with F2, one I wrote with Silk I cannot read.
I suppose I can bring you a Monotetra. I mean, I hate them, but I can bring it. That one I know. I mean, it's werewolves. It doesn't make me happy.
Whatever
makes you happy.
Let razors.
Okay. I can read this.
Okay,
one
apparently I got the title of that one wrong, too. Well, I'm just batting 1,000 today. All right. My brain
Let me
is
see
broken.
If I can. My brain is not broken because I talk to you every
Here
day.
It is.
So, oh, yay.
Well, give me a second. I have to copy it.
I got mine up, so
I'm
going to read after.
Okay, so read yours. You're fine. I've got mine. Just let me know when you're ready for it.
All right. I will be ready as soon as I'm done. Are you ready?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I am. Hopefully this is the right one. I just glanced at it, so. Whew. All right. A night in New Orleans. Yes.
Oh, my. Go ahead.
I
got a little excited. My bad.
Okay. A voodoo queen with caramelized eyes swayed in the shades of moonlight to sultry jazz notes. Of the blues weeping from the throat of a somber trumpet. The buttery glow as the amber eyes prowl the vanilla skin swaddled in crimson velvet. Her cinnamon hair tumbled down in oceanic waves, reaching the edge of her pick-boot back dress. With his tactile style, he weaved himself into her movements,
guiding his her hands along the rugged outline of his unshaved face. As a firm hand pressed into the small of her back, drips of sensual pleasure came from her thighs. Nuzzling into her silky hair and absorbing her scent, he spoke in a quiet, commanding tone. It was time to leave. Southern charm was defined in the old iron gates, soldered with intricate filigree design and long-stem roses, announcing one had arrived at the manor of the Black Rose. He laid her naked limbs on the charcoal skins of his wolf brothers that had gone before him. He stroked her hair and rode her body like a fine mare. On a long journey, he had heard her sigh from far below, where no woman can lie, about the explosions of pleasure. Her skin was bloody and raw from her nails to the pleasure of his exploration, and she bowed her head to worship at the altar of his affection. As he pulled her hair to and fro, his bloodlust grew, and he knew soon only she could release his need for salvation. Her eyes of brown flashed as his teeth slashed the scarlet flesh of her lips, and she quietly laid down in his lap as she draped her hair back and smiled. I dare you to bite me. Make me like you tonight. Drink. I've been waiting for you for a while. End poem.
But there was no thrusting.
No.
So we're good. Yes,
yes.
But it's all naked and ecstasy and digging the nails and worshiping at the altar of his affection. It is.
They're all
I'm
into windows.
It's quite delicious and tasty. Yes, they are, and they're fabulous. Like I said, there's no thrusting.
Okay.
It's fabulousness.
But if you keep saying the words,
you
know, people
I
are going
to
get the
you
idea.
To bite me. There is no fear. There is no, you know, vampires and wolves and, oh, no. No, there's all, yeah, I dare you. I love that. There is something. I mean, I could almost see the darkness in the eyes that have that kind of primal pull. I can see the little curve of a smirk on the lip. I can just be like, I dare you. And that is some sexy shit. I am just saying. So, Rack and Tour.
I sent you the name of the one that I remember.
I got it.
Okay, thank you. I mean, I wish I could have focused more on the sexy because, you know, I love Voodoo Queens and New Orleans and things like that, and you know, this is your wheelhouse, and you know. It really is just a comforting thing, and for me, so I enjoy it more than I probably should. Let's just leave it at that.
Oh, rack.
Awesomeness. And Chris, what are your thoughts?
It's like one of those things is like, yeah. I love the carnal taste of flesh and the primal calling. We're all animals when it comes down to it, right? I mean, we are. We're animals when it, you know, between certain things we do, we act animalish, you know? It's just how we are, or at least if you've never done it that way and you don't know what you're doing.
It's about the vampire bite, people.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Bite me.
That's awesome. It's wonderful.
She just wanted to have sex with him forever.
She wanted to be a vampire forever.
There's something to be said about the pull of the tease and the, you know, and staring somebody who's all big and bad right down in their face when they don't expect it. It's lovely. I'm just saying.
All right, girlie, it's your turn.
Huh? I'm trying to upload a thing for Rack because he's got an audio. Give me a second.
Okay.
Give me a second. Oh, crap, I have to log in here on my phone. Oh, one second, guys. I am not logged in here. We're going to go talk amongst yourselves for a hot minute. It'll take me literally 2 minutes. I just need to get in here.
Okay, 2 minutes, hot minute. Rex, what's your what am I going to do next? What's my next week's show? What should that be about? I don't know. I'm going to have to do this show again because there's so many of these crazy monsters that we have to do, especially the Scorpion Man. I just have to do him myself.
I should have waited. You know, I should have told AP I challenge him to make an acrostic out of his name.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. I might throw that challenge out anyway.
He'll do it backwards, you know, when it's AP.
Yeah. That would be great.
Become your greatest monster yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that would be fabulous. Oh, my God. No idea what the hell.
Okay, we're good.
Okay.
All right, what are we doing?
All right, I am on the board. This is Adrenaline Suite. And it goes like this. The shining moon does make me smile and ponder things I do that do beguile, like magic steeped within denial. That's not my style. That's not my style. The light is made for choosing prey. I rein them in by light of day. Imagine, quite to their dismay, the night betrays, the night betrays. For that is when they cannot hide from what they see they lay beside. They can't escape, though all have tried. It's justified, it's justified. The fear will make the bravest run, which makes me laugh and ups the fun. But when the feeding has begun, their life's undone, their life's undone. That, my friends, is the reason why the quiet ones, so meek and shy, should never leave your watchful eye. Do not deny, do not deny. That shy belies the lycanthrope as truth pushes the envelope. Once you're chosen, there is no hope. Locked in the grope, locked in the grope. Transfixed on beauty, dripped in need, the prey is chosen for its greed. The scent when fear is finally freed, that's when I feed. That's when I feed. And Paul.
Yeah. Ooh, yummy. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Oh, wow. This is like, I don't want you to eat me, but I want you to be, I don't know, you know, I want to feed you. Wow. This is like, you want to be your prey. You make it like, I want to be your prey.
Yeah.
It's just so lovely. For that is when they cannot hide from what they see they lay beside. They can't escape, though they all have tried. It's justified. It's justified. Like, come to me and I will take away your sin. And they just want to be worshipped by you. So they'll sacrifice themselves for you. And that's just awesome. I really enjoyed that. Hey, Rack, your thoughts.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I love that he's but that's what instigates me. And I have a lovely story. I mean, the telling of the tale, pun intended. The werewolf, the lycanthrope, it's, you know, you always, I don't know. I enjoyed it a lot.
And Gresh, your thoughts.
I'm kind of like transfixed on this one part of here because it says, the fear will make the bravest run, which makes me laugh and ups the fun. But when the feeding has begun, their life's undone, their life's undone. That, my friends, is the reason why the quiet ones, meek and shy, should never leave your watchful eye. Do not deny. Do not deny. And that part really gets me because it's like there's no matter which one you try to be. You know, if you try to run, you're gonna get eaten. If you just try to be, hey, I'm good over here. I'm not seeking anything. You're still gonna get eaten. So it's like, damn, it's like, it's amazing. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, it's always the quiet ones. There's something about the quiet ones that is intriguing. And, you know, it's a thing. What can I say?
It is a thing. I like that it's a thing. So I have Rack. Rack, you should be in my studio. I just need to refresh my studio.
Yes, he is the third one down.
Okay. Rack, you're going to be the last man that talks to me tonight. So, all right. Okay, if he's on the board, I will hit play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go.
Yes.
Pickup Artist by Raconteur. She never saw it coming, and I almost felt guilty. What chance did any woman have with a sociopath like me? Bold move, hopping in the car with a stranger, but there wasn't a hint of fear in her eyes, flashing a perfect smile as her tight skirt rode up her pale thighs. Where to? I asked, driving off into the night. She said, I would love to find some place to grab a quick bite. The moon looked on, chaperoning our quest. She fidgeted nervously with the buttons, adorning the blouse, straining to cover her chest. Distracted, I swerved, almost crashing the car. Pull over behind that barn, she said. In the shadows, our tongues can spar. Eagerly, I raced. Not a moment did I waste. Her intentions clearly were not chaste, and I could not wait to have a taste. Her eyes locked on mine, she boldly made the first move, unbuckling my pants hastily as if she had something to prove. I was having too much fun, so I didn't mind the delay. In the throes of passion, she would be easy to slay. When her lips met my thigh, I let down my guard. She pierced my femoral artery with her fangs without trying very hard. I tried to struggle, but only managed a pathetic wail. Clearly, she had done this before, and I had no chance to prevail. Drained like a juice box, she left my body there to rot. It seems I had bitten off more than I could chew, picking up one of Salem's lot. End poem.
Oh, this is just great. I love the drained like a juice box. Just yummy. Get some every time. I tell you what, it's got to be easy being a little girl vampire because you just got to bat your eyes and show a little chest and you're just sucking them dry in a heartbeat. I love it. That was great, Rack. One of my favorites of yours, just FYI. Made my list a long time ago. Great. Absolutely great. And Gress, your thoughts.
I loved it. I was laughing because I loved the turn of events at the end. You know, he's thinking, oh, I'm going to pick this girl up. I'm going to kill her. You know, I'm a sociopath. She has no idea who I am or what I am. And then at the end, he didn't know what she was. And he got his just through the words. Like, and I do love the train like a juice box. That was pretty good. Very good. Creative. Very good turn of events. I loved it. Very good.
Thanks, Greg.
And Pretty Bird, last words.
Oh, my goodness. I love how the guy thinks he's going to be doing something sinister, how, you know, he's going to get what he's going to get, and she doesn't even know what she's in for. And, you know, whether that's just a little bit of mayhem or a whole lot of murder, you don't really know because he doesn't get that far because girlie was hungry, and a girl needs to eat when a girl needs to eat. I'm just saying.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, you guys, that's it.
On like a good day, he said her.
There you go.
All right, you guys, that is the show for tonight. Thank you, everybody that came. I had a whole lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. This is a great time. Again, I think there's enough that I might have to do this down the future road, because there's so many more crazy things to talk about with this group of friends, especially number 11. Number 11 is my new favorite crazy thing that nobody can pronounce, so we'll just call him number 11 and move on. Hope you guys had a great time. Hope you plan on coming back and seeing me again soon. Thanks for all the great poetry out there. I hope everybody had a great time. What's going on the rest of the week? Tomorrow is Man Cave, I believe, with Hatter. I think, who's he doing tomorrow? I can't remember. He's doing a band, which is good to know, because, you know, he's doing a good band, too. Let's see. What band are you doing tomorrow, Hatter? I know Saturday night is open poetry with A.P. Taylor. Sunday night we're off, and then color series with Deb. And unfortunately, I know he's doing a jukebox with Santana tomorrow night. Yeah, Santana tomorrow night, so that's going to be fun. And I think that's the next couple of days here at Team of Voices. You guys have a great weekend. And we'll be around.
You too, my dear.
Good night,
everybody. All right. Good night.
Yes. Good night, everybody. Thanks for hanging with me.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for using Vlog Talk Radio. Goodbye.